What's going on, my haunted holiday hellhounds? On this very special holiday episode, we will go over the top five paranormal Christmas phenomena, some haunted eBay, I read it on Reddit, Edgegrave Dave reviews Santa Stein, and a very special new co-host. So drink your eggnog and saddle up that reindeer and let's fly.
Do aliens exist and are they among us? Are weird creatures lurking in the darkness? Do evil entities hide in the shadows of your bedroom while you sleep? Join us as we explore all this and more on the Warped Reality Podcast.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Warped Reality Paranormal Podcast. I am Ghost Joe.
This is Annette, man.
And this is Michelle.
And yeah, so like we said in the last couple episodes, Michelle's going to be joining us now, on our hosting, helping us host and stuff and research and all that good stuff. I would have had some of the other stuff that we had done already ahead of time, but you know, I'm a lazy bastard when it comes to editing, especially when it has a lot of editing to do. So just figured we'd do this and I'll get the other stuff out eventually. It's the Christmas episode. You know, it's Christmas Day right now. Well, not really. I mean, it's almost Christmas Day.
Yeah, but a couple days early, buddy.
We're a couple days early. But we have a bunch of cool things coming at you right now. We're going to try and keep it short. But we have a couple things. And we have an awesome, horrible review from our very own Edgegrave Dave. So he's reviewing Santa Steen, which is a new horror movie. So that should be very, very cool. You know, he's always very Dave.
Dave is Dave for sure.
So the last episode I talked about it, and it's still going on, you know, 5-6 days later after that, these freaking drones are still going around. And they're popping up in more places now.
It's all over the news.
It's all over the news. It's everywhere. And my thing is, as much as I want it to be aliens, I really doubt that this one's aliens. You know, I feel like
me. I was doing it.
See, now we have to put this on like a private thing because now the government's going to be listening.
No. Oh, well.
Nat, you just triggered your own personal FBI agent, so watch out.
I'm going to have government in front of my house soon.
But I still believe that it is, that it's our government, because honestly, like, let's face it, like, if it was a different government or if it was freaking aliens, our government would have shot them down already. You know, so I really feel like it has to be our government. I know that
they... Why haven't they shot them down yet?
Because it's them. Why would they shoot down their own drones?
That's exactly what I've been arguing since I've been seeing this. If they're so nervous about these things going over the army air bases and all that crap, why haven't they just blown them up yet into pieces?
They're saying that... I mean, one of the running theories right now is that there's some kind of nukes that are missing and that these drones are trying to find... nuclear materials or whatever. That's pretty freaking scary if that's true too, you know. But
yeah, so I haven't heard that yet.
I've heard that. I think
it's on Staten Island.
I mean,
you know, they've been spotting him here on the island, right?
I know they've been all over.
If anything happens, it's nice knowing you guys.
You know, Great Kills is closed because it was a radioactive dumping ground during World War II. So that, if we're looking, if like Joe was saying, if it's something nuclear that maybe they're searching for, they had to close Great Kills Park on Staten Island because they found radioactive waste that was dumped there. So that was used for whatever reason during that war. So it's quite interesting. I know where I'm at. I live right near two major Army installations. In fact, I lived on an Army airfield when I first moved to Georgia, and they had experiences with UAPs dating back from the 50s because it was an Air Force base. So, and there always seems to be talking about the military. It always seems connected to the Air Force. And, you know, this was well documented that they were seeing things up until the 70s. I know I spoke about Joe with it. So it seems like there's always a deep connection between that kind of stuff, like drones or satellites, and then our military. So, and it's funny because I was just watching a thing on Roswell, a new thing on Roswell last night about that, and where a bunch of Air Force officers came out and spoke about it before they passed away that were there. So it's quite interesting.
Well, you know, a radioactive spill actually did happen in the 80s in New York City. I think it was pretty much televised, or it was definitely out there. I mean, radioactive stuff was in the sewer, and four turtles, became big, and their master Splinter had trained them how to do ninja stuff. And they what's so funny? I don't get it.
Did they learn ninjutsu?
That's right. And then this dude named Shredder came out and became Super Shredder. It was a mess. It was the late 80s. Yeah, it was terrible. Terrible times.
I think I remember.
All right, so right now we're going to go into the I have a list of the top 5 Christmas paranormal anomalies that I kind of put it together a little bit. So I'll start with number 5 here is the Yule Cat. Have you ever heard of the Yule Cat, Matt?
What? The Yule Cat?
Like, Yule, like Christmas, Yule. The Yule Cat, or Jólakötturinn, is a legendary creature from Icelandic folklore. This monstrous feline is said to roam the snowy landscapes during the Christmas season, preying on those who do not receive new clothes for Christmas. Scary.
Oh boy, I just got chills down my spine.
The origins of the Yule Cat can be traced back to 19th century Iceland, where it was associated with the tradition of giving new garments as gifts. The belief was that those who worked hard during the year deserved to be rewarded with new clothing, while the lazy or unproductive would face the wrath of the Yule Cat. And this is a real lore. And then it says, in addition to its role as a punisher of the lazy, the Yule Cat is often linked to the figure of the Christmas troll, Gryla, who is said to be the mother of the Yule Cat and other mischievous creatures. So yeah,
that's a freaky name.
It's like a giant cat, the Yule Cat, and it supposedly comes around like and kills lazy people.
Oh God,
that's a Yule Cat. Sorry.
Nice.
This is also from the same country that has a penis museum. So this is quite interesting. I'm going to have to Google this. So.
Wow.
Whoa. This is a new one for me. I did not know about that.
No, literally, they do. I just had to throw it out there because this is such a far off
story. That's hard to, that's hard to believe.
I believe the cat is that.
Yeah. Seriously, this is nothing against Icelandic people whatsoever, but yes, they do. They have that, and I'm curious how this legend came from. And now I'll let Joe go on.
I'm sure you are curious.
No, you know what? You know what? I know.
I've actually seen pictures of it.
Huh. Figured you would.
You know what? Screw. Listen, like the whole Icelandic thing. All right. I hope we get listeners from there and all that. But. Screw them, man. They went against the Mighty Ducks, and it was like a really tough competition.
Really?
The Iceland team was very, very difficult for them.
Oh, okay. God.
Wait a minute. Was this Mighty Ducks 1 or Mighty Ducks 2?
I believe it was Mighty Ducks 2. Yeah, I think
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
They just played a local team, right?
Yeah, and then 2 was they played like the Iceland team, and 3, I think they were like in high school or something. Number 4 is the Mistletoe Bride. This one's like a really, really creepy thing, though. This is pretty crazy. So the legend of the Mistletoe Bride has been retold for centuries and has been taking many forms. While the story's true origin is difficult to determine, many have come to believe its roots are in the disappearance of Lord Lavelle's bride at the Bramshill house in Hampshire, England. Okay. Allegedly, Lord Lavelle was preparing to wed a young woman related to somebody, I can't pronounce the name. And this was around Christmas time, that there were mistletoes all over the place in the mansion. So they wanted to play him, his wife, and I guess the groomsman or whoever was there. They wanted to play this game where the young bride-to-be would hide somewhere in the mansion. The groomsman would try and seek her out, and whoever found her would get a kiss from her. The bride went to hide, and the wedding party tried to find her. But then minutes turned into hours, and hours turned into days, and they couldn't find her. Eventually, you know, it kind of turned serious, and they had no idea where she went. They thought maybe she disappeared or she ran off or whatever. 50 years later, Lord Lavelle was still seeking answers to where she had went. Not his children, but maybe his grandchildren or something, had come across this secret closet in the upstairs room, and they found a wooden chest that was sealed shut with candle wax and with a lock also. And when they pried it open, they opened it, they found the corpse of the woman in the chest.
Did they say what they thought may have happened to her? Or
it's,
they just
unknown.
Found her?
Like, they don't know. They don't know. That's what they're saying, you know?
Yeah. It was him.
You don't know if it was him or maybe one of the groomsmen, maybe, you know?
Oh.
Who knows?
Maybe she wasn't putting out.
So number three is the ghost of Anne Boleyn. So this is kind of a short one.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah, so
she was Henry VIII's second wife.
Right, right. So this one's kind of short, but basically the ghost of Anne Boleyn, the second wife of King Henry VIII, is one of the most famous specters in English history. After her execution in 1536, her ghost is said to haunt several locations, notably the Tower of London, which is supposedly one of the most haunted places in the entire world, and the Hever Castle. And it's just, she's described as appearing in a white dress with a severed head under her arm. And she is seen mainly on Christmas Day. Her ghost is mainly seen on Christmas. So that would be kind of creepy.
Is it seen by the Tower of London?
Yeah. Yeah. They said, yeah, you could see it. You could see, her ghost at the Tower of London or this, Hever Castle. So, number two is this is another kind of demon type thing, right? The demon is the Belafonte, and it's from Italian folklore. It's not technically a demon, but she's a witch. She's a witch, and she delivers gifts to children on the night of January 5th, known as the Epiphany. According to the legend, Belafonte was too busy to visit the baby Jesus and had later regretted it. So she travels on a broomstick, filling stockings with candy for good children and coal for those who misbehave. And yeah. So yeah.
Okay.
That's Belafonte, the Christmas witch, the Italian Christmas witch. Number one should be no surprise to anybody. Number one is Krampus. And Krampus is probably one of the most well-known Christmas demons. Has roots in Central European folklore. It's a half goat and half demon figure, and it's said to roam the streets during the Christmas season, searching for misbehaving children. While Santa Claus rewards good behavior with gifts, Krampus brings fear and punishment. The stories of Krampus serve as a warning to children, encouraging them to behave well during the festive season. So that's Krampus. And you know, there was actually a movie. I hadn't seen it. I think Edgegrave Dave had did
it. Yeah, I haven't seen it either.
I think he had done a review on it last year, Krampus. It's 2015 Christmas horror comedy movie, directed by Michael Dougherty.
That was actually that was a big movie. That wasn't just, you know,
yeah, I think it was out in the movies.
Yeah, that was in the theaters and everything.
Yeah.
I know my kids saw it with their dad. So
really,
because they're huge horror buffs. Yes, very much so. My ex-husband and especially my son are huge, huge horror fans.
So some other really good Christmas horror movies. The Mean One, which has David Howard Thornton, who's Art the Clown, and he plays the Grinch in it, and it's freaking amazing. It's awesome. That was the one that Edgegrave Dave did a review on last year. I made him do a review on that because
I remember that one.
It was too freaking funny to to not do. I mean, it's so bad, it's hysterical. You know, that's a mean one. And David Howard Thornton is awesome. And of course, the newest horror Christmas movie, Terrifier 3, is a Christmas movie now as well.
So, I'll win for you to mention that.
Of course. Come on, man. I can't go an episode without mentioning Terrifier. I freaking love that series. It's awesome. And it is a Christmas movie. You know, Art does dress up like Santa Claus. So, you know, and it's, that's awesome. David Howard Thornton is the man. Me and Edgegrave, I think, have a little bit of a man crush on David Howard Thornton. He's awesome. We pretty much feel like he's like the next best
thing
after like Freddy Krueger and stuff. God. But yeah, so that's that. Now what do you guys want to do? You want to hear an I Read It on Reddit, or do you want to go straight into the horrible review with Edgegrave? What do you guys feel like? I Read It on Reddit. I was about 16. It was Christmas Eve and snowing heavily. My parents and myself were sitting in the living room while the Christmas tree with the Christmas tree lights on, having eggnog and opening up my stocking gifts, which was our tradition. We suddenly heard the door knocker banging really loudly 3 times, but we saw nobody in the window. When my dad opened up the door and looked down, there was a bloody black cat lying across the threshold across the snow. What was messed up was that there were no human footprints in the snow, no tire tracks, and no way that anybody, you know, no way of seeing anybody come up to the house or anything like that. The cat was still alive, so they took the cat in, and, they said they're very huge animal lovers. And they made it comfortable. It was a young male cat that was not fixed and had been in a terrible fight. A few days later, we took it to the vet and he recovered nicely. The weird thing aside from the knocking and no footprints in the snow was that my mom gave it to a friend of ours that lived down the street. About 4 or 5 months later, the cat, now happily part of the family, woke them all up howling and screaming, just freaking the hell out. It turns out that there was an electrical fire that had started in their garage and one of the cars was on fire. They all woke up and everybody got out and everybody was good. So, you know, the cat basically alerted them that there was a fire. Initially, cool. Yeah, they said initially they had called him something like Shadow, but then they renamed him Clark after Superman. Because, they felt that it was a superhero cat. So, yeah, I was going to try and find like something creepy. And I'm like, you know what? I'm like, it's Christmas time. Let's put a nice one up there, you know? But yeah. So
well, there is some sort of, you know, paranormal stuff. The knocking on the door by itself. No sighting of footprints or anything. That's kind of freaky.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean.
Unless it literally walked there itself.
That's true. Well, I mean,
once they would see his paw prints,
right, and they said that there were no prints anywhere. So that's pretty cool.
Depending if it was heavily snowing and the cat was light,
it did not say that it was heavily snowing. So that's not what the
Reddit
said. Have
to wonder about that.
Have to find that Redditor and see if they measured the depth of the snow that night.
You know, the best part of this is actually, you know, it's very non-paranormal. Paranormal-like,
right?
It's quite believable. I mean, there's nothing about the story that could really be fake besides the knocking on the door.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So
there goes a little quick view. It could have been Santa Claus doing that kind of favor.
So let's get on. Uh-huh. And you guys are going to be able to hear this also. I'm going to play the I read it. Oh, no, damn it. This is what happens when I do the show after working a double. Okay. I don't know what the hell I'm talking about right now. I've been up for a million hours. So let's get on with some horrible reviews with our friend Edgegrave Dave.
Horrible reviews with Edgegrave Dave.
Demons greetings! Edgegrave Dave on this night shall spawn a review and unearth insight. So warm your cold bones by the glow of the flame. A call into question I bring, and slash away any blame. Naughty or nice is tonight's theme that is tasked. For this grave warning is for the film Santastein. Look out, he shall ask. Ha ha ha! This review is alive! I remember 30 years ago, where Disney Pictures in 1994 spawned a film called The Santa Claus, starring Tim Allen, where Santa Claus falls off a roof and dies. This is a Disney movie? And then there was a new Santa Claus from then on. Well, here's some Edgegrave Dave math for you guys. 94, take away 1 equals 93. And 93 years ago, we had Frankenstein, one of the original and first Universal monsters, by the book by Mary Shelley of the same name. What would happen if you take Santa Claus plus Frankenstein? Does that equal, you guessed it, Santastein? What would happen if you marry up these two characters? Is it a good idea? Could that make an interesting movie? Well, a young filmmaker named Manuel Camaleone certainly did think so, where in 2008, and I'll tell you exactly why I believe that is the year, set out to make the film Santastein. And yet, this debuted in 2023 on the app Screambox, with the rights by Cineverse and Bloody Disgusting, the very company that just served up Terrifier 3. I did see this movie, however, on the app Tubi, and it is now 2024, so it looks like this film is certainly getting expanded distribution. Congratulations, Manuel. That is quite an achievement. And it looks like Santastein is now upon us. So thank you very much, Spirit of Christmas, Ghost Joe. When I had first seen the poster to this thing, I thought, this is freaking awesome. This is definitely one of those examples where the poster looks almost nothing like the movie. But this thing was really cool. There are three of them. The first poster was this crazy blood red backdrop where Santa Claus is holding a knife or a machete. And he looks like he's about to just kill them all and slay all the rest. It looks like something out of maybe Black Christmas. The second poster that I saw, is Santa Claus kind of part of like the night sky, and there's this little girl that's on the bottom and all these Christmas trees? And then finally, I saw the poster that looks the most like the movie, which is the very one that Tubi has, where there's all this electricity that is in the air and Santa Claus is rising, kind of like Frankenstein, with the rest of the cast of characters. And then the plot, as it is described, says, Max was only 6 years old when he accidentally burned Santa to a crisp on Christmas Eve. 12 years later, Max attempts to raise Santa from the dead in order to fix his past mistakes and restore the Christmas spirit. But he soon realizes that the creature he has created is a bloodthirsty killer, and it's headed straight for the town's Christmas party. Buckle in for some bloody holiday cheer that will leave you having a ho, ho, ho lot of fun. Ho, ho, ho lot of fun. I can tell you guys right now, it's definitely not the town's Christmas party. What it is a couple of teenagers throwing a party, and the girl that's throwing the party gets locked out of her friend's house. How's that for a Christmas present? So while there was a real Santa Claus that unfortunately was killed, the guilt of Max is definitely felt throughout the whole film. So what he decides to do in pure Frankenstein fashion is rob a body out of the freaking hospital morgue. And one of the hospital workers sees him do this, and the hospital worker himself, he's trying to get him throughout the whole movie. And then finally, cops are slayed and destroyed. He becomes a cop himself, and he's not even one, but it's great. You kind of have this whole like diehard superhero, like he's kind of like loading up all of his guns and strapping on all of his gear. I felt that really, really funny. We have this Santa Claus that I guess was a criminal. They don't really go into who the body is very much, but when he wakes up, he does have Santa's brain. And what's pretty cool is that Santa Claus, and this is original, does have his consciousness of naughty or nice. The people that are nice are spared. The people that are naughty, oh man, do they get it. The acting's kind of all over the place. The music is very good, but the problem that I have is that the dialogue is somewhat buried in the mix just a little bit. The special effects, although kind of B-movie and campy, really, really work. But when you see the electricity and when they try to make it snow, it looks kind of like a modern day Instagram filter in a way. That's what I was thinking of. But I can't really rank on or take too much away from the director, because when he made this movie, you know, he really had the resources that he had. And the movie is just so much fun to watch that you're really going to forget about a lot of those things. It's just that I found myself playing around with the audio and the volume, just trying to hear certain things. And I had a little bit of trouble. I was thinking, could it be my TV? Could it be like my sound system? And, you know, that's just one of those things where whatever equipment that was made back then, I am going to say 2008. And because there is one of the earlier scenes and you get to see a rat being brought back to life, which is how Max does know that he's able to bring back Santa Claus. You have a kid that's doing this presentation, and on the whiteboard, it says December 2008. And somebody mentions MySpace. Of all things, MySpace. I'm like, yeah, that kind of brings you back. And I also do want to mention that during his presentation, he does talk about how there's a whole conspiracy with coal and that Santa Claus is really giving people coal so that, you know, it could like fuel energy and all these types of things. But he mentions Tim Allen in that, like, what did Tim Allen, Vladimir Putin, and all these people have in common? When I heard Tim Allen, that's the first thing that reminded me of the whole Santa Claus dying and the Santa Claus and being brought back. But the pace of the movie definitely does keep it fun. I mean, you have a lot of really witty and very funny dialogue. Some highlights of that are you have cops that just simply don't care, and they curse an awful lot. The chief himself must have said the word bastard about four times. You have the teacher that when they brought back that rat, everybody in the class is just kind of like misbehaving. And he's like, stop cursing, stop using that language. And when the rat's brought back, he's like, fuck, I just wasn't expecting any of that. And a lot of the teenagers that are in the movie, you can tell that it's one of their first films, maybe breaking into acting. Everybody had a really good time with it. They were all having fun. And the kills are just really fun to see. The special effects, as I had mentioned, you know, you kind of see what you get. But like I said, it's not going to really take away anything from the experience. I think that it's overall just a fun movie. If you can get past certain things, it's something that people might be replaying year after year. And I certainly hope that it does that. So absolutely go have fun. Check out Santa Stein. The actor that does play Santa Stein, I do want to highlight real quick. His name is Michael Vidovic, and he has a great look in this movie. I love that when somebody's naughty, he just screams and goes, oh, and he has that real Frankenstein type walk and like look to him. But when somebody's nice, you see the compassion that he has for that character. I really like the way that he moves and his kills. For how he portrayed them, are done very, very well. I truly hope that everybody does have a really good time with this one. As far as rating this movie, at first, I was kind of like a square of duct tape and a piece of chewing gum away from giving it a broken shovel. But then as the movie went on and it ended, I really did see it for what it was. And I think people will overall just have fun with it. So I'm going to give it a 2.5 out of 5 Graves. It's something that while you're looking for the many type of B-movie Santa Claus movies that are out there, you're just overall going to have fun with it. And that is what the horror days are all about. Just having fun. So go ahead and give a gift to yourself. And I'm going to spoil something else for you guys. Spoiler alert. At no point in the movie do they say, it's alive. But then again, you might not be alive after Santa Stein gets through with you. So cheers. Happy horror days. Merry everything. Edgegrave out.
Thanks, Edgegrave.
That was awesome, buddy.
That really was.
Thank you. Thank you, my friend. Thank you. Thank you. Always entertaining, man. I haven't seen Santa Stein. I wasn't sure if it was Santa Stein or Santa Stein, but I guess if it's Frankenstein, I guess it would be Santa Stein. That definitely sounds interesting. But another movie I actually forgot to mention earlier with some of the Christmas horror movies. You know, of course, you got like the Black Christmas and stuff like that. But another one that's really, really good, that's like a Christmas horror, but like a comedy at the same time, is the Jack Frost movies. Have you guys ever seen Jack Frost?
Oh,
the horror
yes.
ones?
Yeah.
I've heard of them.
Those it's horror and slash comedy.
Awesome. So yeah, awesome. Yeah. So ridiculously awesome. Like, I mean, if you're going to watch, you gotta watch one of those movies. I think they're even like, it's one of those things where like, I think it's even like 80 minutes long. Like they're not even that long of movies, you know? But yeah, no, those movies are great too. So thank you so, so much, Edgegrave. That was awesome. Now let's get on with, the last thing that we have going on today. And then, we'll call it a night, a day. I don't know. We'll say goodbye, I guess. So let's do some. I told you it's weird for me to do this on the night, like right after I freaking work. It's like
working great.
I don't have the mojo like I do, you know, like the second day, you know. But screw it, you know. Let's, you know,
well,
I only have one day to edit.
Mojo for me, buddy.
I only have one day to edit it, this stuff. So you know what the hell. Let's just get through this. All right. So
all right, buddy.
All right.
My favorite part of the show.
Let's do some Haunted eBay.
This is Haunted eBay. Happy bidding, kiddies.
The first thing on Haunted eBay, because I gotta warm you guys up here, is a haunted doll, a spirit. It says spirit negative, demon cursed. And it's a statue witch. $75 and it's free shipping. The name is Abba and it says it's a dangerous demonic vessel. Beware. Stands tall, about 6 inches high and 5 inches wide. It says here, warning, purchase at your own risk. Not a toy to be around children. Please read. And here's the description for Abba. I present to you Abba. He was never human. A witch that I met from years back upstate. She left. See, this is where like I don't believe it already, because this person goes from he to she to, you know, so I don't know. But it says here, a witch that I met from years back upstate. She left this to me when she was moving into the woods. She couldn't take it with her because it was too much to handle after she let this demon possess the vessel. I have been told that it is an arrogant, sneaky, and sexual demon. When he doesn't get attention, you could hear knocking under your bed, moaning, which I'm sure if it's from a pain or being sexual or whatever. There are also terrible smells. It's cursed because I haven't slept since I got it. I've had serious nightmares for weeks, all disgusting and sexually gross, and I can't handle it. Cursed with dangerous thoughts of sex and violence, which is not something I mess with. I actually have it locked in a box right now because I've had family over and I need to protect them. I'm trying to get rid of it. It's seriously powerful. So make sure you understand the potential danger you're getting yourself into. Great for witches, black magic, and revenge spells. Also, it helps if you stay connected in the highest level to the almighty Baphomet?
Baphomet?
Yeah. It is better that you have some experience with cursed and demonic objects. Please be super careful. This vessel is uncleansed. Light a white candle, burn incense, and give a small present to welcome it into your home. So every time I see these things and like, oh, I got to get rid of it. Then why are you putting it on there for $75? Put it on there for $5 if you're really trying to get rid of it. You know, putting it up there for $75 isn't going to get rid of it that easily, you know. But yeah, so that's that one. I don't know. What do you think about that, Nat? What do you think about the witch demon thing?
Come on. The moaning underneath the bed? It's supposed to be some sort of sexual thing?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. To be honest with you, I agree with you. If I had something like that and I want to get rid of it, just get rid of it. Why right. would you even try selling it?
Right, but exactly. You know.
It wouldn't be eBay without it.
So this next one is like the holy grail here, okay? These kinds of things only come around like very, very few, you know, like just like the haunted chicken nugget that I talked about a while back. Right.
Oh yeah. You know, it was a great one.
Right. So this is just like that. It's a short description and all that, but it's worth it. Okay. So this one is Temus, the cursed shaved coconut. And
this falls back in line with Iceland. You know that, right?
Wait for it. So it's going for $22,750
for a small car
for a cursed shaved coconut. Oh, but the shipping's only $11.76, so that kind of makes it worth it, you know.
Oh, that's a deal. That's a complete deal.
So check this out. So Temus,
tell me about the coconut.
There you go. Temus can hear your thoughts. He knows your fears. He thrives on your secrets. Do not stare. The more you stare, the more alive Temus' spirit becomes inside his husk. Do not touch with your bare hands. And for the love of all that is good, do not touch his ukulele. This will make him angry. He has been known to cause nightmares, inexplicable accidents, strange occurrences, and unsettling feelings. Sometimes you will hear him pluck a string on his ukulele in the middle of the night. The longer you are in possession of him, the stronger the curse becomes. With great power comes great responsibility. I probably shouldn't have read that line because now I'm going to get sued by Marvel.
Crap.
But it was in the description, so I had to. So do you guys want to chip in?
Yes, I actually want to chip in on the other one too. I'm sorry, but how does a coconut strum a ukulele?
It's haunted. Of course it could strum a ukulele.
Like, is the ukulele attached? It has no arms.
Yeah, I think it's like attached to it. I have a picture somewhere. I was going to try and share it, but for some reason I couldn't share it with this thing. But I'll send it to you so you could see it after the show.
Would you be able to put it on the description?
It's quite, huh?
Can you put it on the description of the note?
Funny, a description of what it looks like?
No, I mean, the picture, you couldn't get it. Can you get it for the description in the notes?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. For everybody else, yeah, definitely. I'll put the picture up there so everybody could see the, in the show notes, so everybody could see the haunted, you know. I normally don't do that because I don't like to promote other people's stuff, but no, this is too good. You guys got to see the haunted shaved coconut. So
I have another comment on this real quick. It's $22,000 with $11 worth of shipping, but the other doll was $75. You get free shipping, but you're bringing one of the worst demons of hell into your house. That's a succubus by buying that doll. For some reason, the strumming coconut and then the demonic doll, I'm going to save myself like 21 grand and just buy the demonic doll.
Yeah, I mean, you'll have probably have a worse time, but, you know, it'll...
Seems to be a good idea.
Freaking haunted. And, you know, if we all chip in, I mean, like, we... I mean, it's a coconut. We could cut it all in threes and, you know, have maybe, you know, I don't know if it'll still work.
I think I said
this before, the ukulele strumming...
But, I mean, I like coconut, so, I mean, I don't know how you feel about coconut.
I might need to get a loan to get that.
It's worth it. It's worth it, Nat.
Yes, the haunted coconut.
This definitely, but this one definitely goes just like the haunted, you know, the haunted chicken nugget, and the one that me and you talked about, Nat. There was the haunted iMac, right? And then there was the haunted. Remember the haunted shoes that if you put them on, it walks you straight to hell. Those were good too. So very good too. So, like I always say with the haunted eBay, you know, I or the three of us and the Warped Reality Paranormal Podcast do not claim any responsibility if anything does or does not happen. If you purchase any of these items, bid at your own risk. But they are real items on eBay. You can look them up; they're there. You know, as long as it's still going on. I did look up the haunted coconut, and that's still up there. So if you want to check that out on eBay, you know, yeah. If you could afford it, go for it. Because, you know, who wouldn't want a haunted coconut that could strum a ukulele?
Dude, I want that. I want that. I want it to play.
An armless coconut, too.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, and it's shaved. And it's a shaved coconut, too. So,
oh, yeah. Oh,
you don't have to worry about it shedding, you know.
I want a discount, then.
Or if it takes a shower, you don't have to worry about, you know, the hair and the brain. You know, so that's always a good thing.
Good time.
That's going to do it for us with the Christmas episode. And yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed it. Thank you to Edgegrave Dave for your awesome review. And thank you to you guys. Awesome. And yeah, we'll see you guys next time. Later.
Till next time, guys.
Alrighty, have a great one and a happy holidays.
Thank you for listening to the Warped Reality Podcast, and thank you to all my guests and contributors that helped make this show possible. For more episodes, guest info, social media links, merch, and more, please check out warpedrealitypodcast.com. If you have a paranormal experience you would like to share, questions, comments, or you'd like to be a guest in the show, please leave me a voicemail at 845-600-0744, or you can email me at ghostjoeny@gmail.com. You can do so anonymously if you'd like. Also, I'd greatly appreciate it if you could leave me a review on Apple Podcasts or WarpedRealityPodcast.com. Have a great night, everyone, and don't forget to change your shorts.